Good morning.
Good morning,
and welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements at the back of the bulletin. There are a number of things that are happening at this time of the year, especially since we're gearing up with all the programming for this fall. Just a couple of things to highlight. This morning, there will be no Sunday school after church, and that's for children and adults, so no Sunday school at all. And then next Sunday, though, is Rally Day, when we kick off the new year with Sunday school. And there will be a lot of festivities and games and different things going on. There's also a meal with that. And then also at some point right after the meal, I think the parents for the new confirmation class, we will have a meeting as well then, too. And that's all happening next Sunday morning. And then also, too, this week, on Tuesday, September 5th, the women will be going back into Bible study once again with their circle groups. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Are you going to make that announcement?
Yes.
Okay. Well, come on up here, Sandra. I'll let her make that announcement. Don't want to steal her thunder here.
Yes, the women of the church will be starting our Bible study. We will be starting, the morning circles will be starting the book of Ecclesiastes, titled, How in the World Will I Live in This Vain World? The afternoon study is studying the book of Luke. The morning starts at 9 o'clock for fellowship, and then 9:30 is the study. The afternoon starts at 2:30, and we all meet in the fellowship hall. We'd like to have everybody there, every woman of the church is invited to come. So we'd like to see you there. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Are there other announcements? Terry?
Just a quick one for the youth that come to FFF on Wednesday nights. This Wednesday night, we are making cookies for the grandparents weekend coming up. And so we're meeting a little bit earlier, if you can. We're going to start at 5 o'clock, and we're going to be actually over in the fellowship hall. So come when you can, and we'll still end at 7:30, but we're going to be baking cookies this week. So please come if you can. Also, a future event coming up, but we're already looking a little bit ahead at Halloween. We're going to do a little something different. We're actually going to encourage you to pick a pumpkin and decorate it with your favorite Bible character or Bible story. And we will provide you the pumpkins. All that we ask is that you sign up so that we know how many pumpkins to get. And that's going to start on Rally Day next week. We'll have sign-up sheets here and down in the basement and over in the hall, too. And that will last until October 8th, and that's when we'll know how many pumpkins to get. So look for the sign-up sheet. Start thinking about your favorite Bible character or Bible story, and we will help you with all the supplies. Just start thinking about it and then sign up.
Thank you, Terry. Any other announcements this morning? Then I invite you to rise as we begin with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. We begin this service in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may apply to your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our opening hymn, Give to Our God Immortal Praise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Victory for our God. Alleluia.
Our God,
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, we thank you for your Son, who chose the path of suffering for the sake of the world. Humble us by his example, point us to the path of obedience, and give us strength to follow his commands. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from the 15th chapter of Jeremiah, beginning at verse 15. O Lord, you know. Remember me and visit me, and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. Under the weight of your hand I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 26 responsively. Give judgment for me, O Lord, for I have lived with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered.
Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and mind.
For your love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you.
I have not sat with the worthless, nor do I consort with the deceitful.
I have hated the company of evildoers. I will not sit down with the wicked.
And I will wash my hands against this, O Lord, that I may go in possession around your altar.
Singing aloud a song of thanksgiving and recounting all your wonderful deeds.
Lord, I love the house in which you dwell and the place where your glory lies.
The second lesson is from the 12th chapter of Romans, beginning at verse 9. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. for by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What would make you happy? What would bring you joy in your life to have a life that you are at peace, that things, even when they're not going well, that still you are comfortable with your life? What truly gives you joy? Would it be having enough money that you would never worry about running out? Having more money than you could ever spend in your life, would that make you happy? Or how about property? About having those things that you truly love, or having so much land that you could not even see all the way across it, would that make you happy? How about having perfect health, where you never have to worry about getting sick, where You don't have to be running to the doctors, where you have no pain, that you have perfect health? Or what would make you happy? That all your relationships that you're in, whether it's with your parents or children or husband and wife or cousins or neighbors or workplace, that all your relationships that you have are just going smoothly, that there is no bickering, there's no animosity, there's no fights, that they're just, all those relationships are going smoothly. Or how about if you had the best education in the world, if you were the smartest person in the world, you could just retain knowledge, just pick it up and retain knowledge. If you're in school, you would ace every single test. Otherwise, other people would be coming to you to always be asking questions, and you would have the answers immediately on the tip of your tongue? Or how about being famous, where everybody knew who you were and they would treat you with admiration and respect? Or how about being able to travel anywhere that you want to go and having the means to do it, to go any place in the world at any time that you wanted to go, and you would be welcome there? Or how about, would it make you happy if you were the best athlete in the world, that it didn't matter which race you were in, it didn't matter what contest or which games you played, you would always come out on top, and you would have world records? What would make you happy? What do you dream about? What would make you content in life? These things make us happy, or they give us joy fleetingly. We think those are our goals, that's what we want to do, that's what we want to have, and they do bring us joy in life. These are good things. All these things that I mentioned, they are all good things. But will they bring you lasting joy? If you have all the money in the world, you worry about losing all the money in the world. Somebody's going to steal it, somebody's going to take it, or it's going to deteriorate. If you have the property, well, something's going to happen to that property, that somebody's going to steal it or take it or destroy it in some way or the other. Perfect health, well, you know, that's, we don't live forever, that at some point you are going to get sick, and at some point you're going to have pain. Our relationships, we live in a sinful world, so we know that there's always going to be some disagreement between people. These things are good, but at the same time, they do not bring us lasting joy. So what does bring us lasting joy? I think the key for that is in our gospel story for today. The story for today is a continuation of what we read last week. If you remember from last week, Jesus is traveling along with his disciples, and as they're traveling along, he's talking with them, and he asks them a question: who do people say that I am? And the disciples started piping up, and one said, some of them think that you're John the Baptist reincarnated. Others were saying, well, maybe you're Jeremiah or Elijah. Others were saying, well, maybe you're one of the other prophets. And then Jesus asked the more pointed question: but who do you say that I am? And it was Peter who piped up at that time and said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Makes that bold proclamation, and Jesus praises him because Peter got it right. And Jesus tells Peter, Peter, you are the rock, and upon this rock I will build the church. But then we come to our lesson, or this story today. It's a continuation. They're still on the road. They're still talking. This is still part of that same conversation. And Jesus gets even deeper then. He gets deeper with the disciples in the discussion, and he starts to tell them the plan of salvation, what he intends to do and what he is going to do. He is headed towards Jerusalem, and there he will suffer many things at the hands of the authorities and the religious authorities. There he will be condemned to death. He will be hung on a cross. He will die, and then on the third day, rise again from the dead. And here, Peter once again is the one who blurts out response to this, and he says, no, Lord. God forbid that this will ever happen. Peter didn't want to see it happen. Peter has thrown himself into following Jesus. Peter gave up his job. He gave up family. He gave up a lot of things to come and follow Jesus. He's invested with Jesus. And he didn't want to hear that Jesus was going to end his life, that Jesus was going to go through all this trouble and end his life. I'm sure that part about being raised from the dead went right over the top of Peter's head. People don't rise from the dead. You know, it didn't even compute in his mind that Jesus can come back from the dead. When you bury somebody, they stay buried. If you, however you do it, they stay buried. They stay dead. It just did not compute with Peter of what was going to happen. And so Jesus tells him, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Just a few sentences before, Jesus was praising Peter and say, upon this rock I will build my church. And here he's saying, get behind me, Satan. Peter just didn't get it. Even though he had thrown himself in following Jesus, he just didn't get it at this point. later on, after the cross, after the resurrection, after the ascension, as the Christian church was starting to build, Peter did get it. He did understand. He did become the leader of the church. But at this point, Peter just does not catch on. So back to that question. What makes us happy? Is it the stuff of this world? Because Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but upon human things." All those things that I listed before are human things. They're things of this earth. They're the things of this earth. They're money, their property, their land, their health, relationships, abilities. Those are things of this earth. And when we strive for the things of this earth, yes, they're good because God gave those as gifts to us. But those are not the things that bring lasting joy, lasting happiness. It is the things that come from God, the divine things. Jesus goes on to say, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." Christianity seems to be so counterintuitive because the world tells us, go for the best, go for the biggest, go for the brightest, go for the most expensive, go for the most prestigious, go for the most powerful. Those should be our goals. But here, Jesus is telling us just the opposite. He is saying, give up these things. Be ready to relinquish whatever you hold dear on this earth. And that is where true happiness comes from. Jesus knows this. Jesus lives this. This was the plan of salvation that God had in place. Think about it. Just this whole story of Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He sits on the right hand of God. He has all the power. He participated in the creation of this world. He is God. Jesus is God with all the power, with everything that goes along with that. But what did Jesus do? He gave it all up. He emptied himself to become human. He emptied himself. He gave it up and became human and to be live here on this earth. Think about it this way. A CEO of a multinational $100 billion corporation gives up his position in order to come and clean toilets in a refugee camp. The contrast in that. This is what Jesus has done. He gave himself up for us. Everything. Even his own life here on this earth. It seems to be counterintuitive, and that's what Peter was going at. God forbid it that you would go through this stuff. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. Don't even talk like that. But Jesus is calling us to that. He's saying, take up your cross. The cross was one of the most gruesome ways ever to kill a person. And here it has become the symbol for the church of giving it all up in order to gain everything, to gain that happiness, to gain that joy, to gain that everlasting life through Jesus Christ. That's what God calls us to do. Many of us do get this. Many of us do understand that to have the true happiness, to have the contentment, to have the joy, even when things in this life seem to be going so rotten, even when we're having troubles, even when we don't know when we're going to pay for bills, even though our health is deteriorating, even though relationships seem to be falling apart, there can still be joy. There can still be contentment. There can still be happiness. Because we know that Christ is here for us. God gave his only Son for us. And Christ emptied himself out for us. And we will win the final victory. Jesus calls us, take up your cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, I Lay My Sins on Jesus. Please rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the church, the world, and all people according to their need. Gracious God, grant that your church never be a hindrance to your Son, nor a stumbling block to those whom he came to save. Center its life and proclamation in the cross of Jesus. Make it follow wherever Jesus leads, even unto death. Use the church to draw many hearts to repentant faith in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Keep in your care victims of violence and injustice, especially when evil has been done to them in the name of religion. Stir us up to give them aid and comfort, for you are glorified by deeds of mercy, hospitality, and peace, not acts of violence or hatred. Lord, in your mercy. Give integrity, wisdom, and humility to those who have power and authority over communities, corporations, and nations. Help them to do what is honorable, just, and generous. Lord, in your mercy. Guide everyone, give everyone the will and the opportunity to work, and give our society the generosity to assist those who cannot. We especially ask you to strengthen and help entrepreneurs, small business owners, and all employees. Help us to value their contribution to our common welfare. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you are the source of all life. Where creation cries out in distress, bring relief, renewal, needed moisture, or sunshine. Bless farmers, ranchers, distributors, and all who provide our food. Nourish the land and all its inhabitants. Lord, in your mercy. Deal mercifully with all whose lives are shadowed by suffering, sorrow, or any kind of adversity. Turn their sorrow into gladness and their pain into shouts of thanksgiving. This day we pray especially for Guy Nobles, Sandra Heil, Keith Ibram, Sheila Keys, Jean Edwards, Lynn McGurra, Lori Barfeld, and Wade Bolting. And we also pray for the family of Beth Severs. Lord, in your mercy. Father, receive our beloved dead into your house with many rooms. Help us to love each other with true affection, to live peaceably and honorably, and above all, to cling to Jesus and his cross. Lead us into your promised kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer, O Father, and grant all that glorifies you and builds up your people. This we ask in Jesus' sake. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into
Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us and keep us in his grace. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger, all who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. closing hymn, Savior, again to your dear name. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.